Doctrine of memory. Definition. Memory is the mental capacity of retaining unconscious traces of conscious impressions and recalling and of recalling those traces to consciousness with attendant perception. Memory includes the power of retention as well as the ability of recollection. Thus, memory is a combination of retention and recollection of identification and perception. That's a very fancy definition, but basically you can recall things and bring them into the mind and understand them. Point two, memory is the vital function of the mentality of the soul. Remember, one of the five components of the soul is mentality, related to the believer's capacity for life, happiness, and the absorption of Bible doctrine. Psalm 119:11, which says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So memory, he's treasured it, he remembers it, and it's set in his memory center. And why? What's the purpose of having the word in your heart? That's the soul. "That I might not sin against you." You know what God wants. And so therefore you do what God wants you to do. Point three, memory directed towards God, expressed in category one type love. A fragrance of memory in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ is the communion table. 1 Corinthians 11:24-25. And of course Jesus commanded the communion table in remembrance of me, Luke 22:19-20, 2 Peter 3:1-2, which says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I," which is Peter, "am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind." Dianoia, which refers to the mind as a faculty of learning, by way of reminder, hupomenesis, which means remembrance, that you should remember, memnesco, to recall something to your mind. The word spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So the apostles, of course, were preaching Bible doctrine, and Peter's writing this letter. He said, "Look, I'm going over this stuff again. I'm going to stir up your memory." Luke 22:19. "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it," this is Jesus Christ, "and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, soma, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And that's anamnesis, which means a recollection, a remembering. Remember, the Lord's Supper is a training tool to see if you can concentrate on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You're remembering things. We're now one day away from Christmas. We celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December. I don't think that's the day he was born, but we don't know what day, so this is as good a day as any. We celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior who came into the world. We remember, and that's part of the blessings of having the Bible doctrine in your soul. You can remember these things. Point four, memory related to time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit via rebound. The fragrance of memory begins to evolve as a believer spends more time in fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 John 1:3-4, because the Holy Spirit has a critical role in stirring these things up to your remembrance. And he does that. As long as you're in fellowship, you remember Bible doctrines. We have the point five, the Auld Lang Syne, which we do right on New Year's Eve. It's a Scottish folk song, and you've all heard it. If you watch It's a Wonderful Life, they're playing Auld Lang Syne at the end. May old acquaintance be forgot. Anyway, it's recalling wonderful things. It's called the fragrance of memory. You recall the good things, and you recall the good things for certain people that you've associated with. That's what Auld Lang Syne is. And you have a cup of cheer, which is alcoholic beverage, and you slam it down in their memory. For the mature believer, this is applied to a fragrance of memory for the Lord Jesus Christ as a byproduct of the mature life. You have a fragrance of memory for what your Savior did for you. It then overflows to people as well. So when you concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, it overflows to other humans with a problem-solving device of impersonal love, of course. And you reach maturity. Point 5A, fragrance of memory in Category 2, the opposite sex. We just studied married. Song of Solomon 3:1, 4:6, and 8:6. You miss your member of the opposite sex when they're apart, and you're happy when they're around. Category 3, this is Category 3 love, which is friends. You have marvelous friendships. You know, some people, they might be married, and they say, "Well, I have no personal friends. You're my best friend." Of course, everybody says you're my best friend, whether they are or not. It's a different story. But you're almost obliged to say that if you're in marriage. Don't say you're not my best friend if you're in a marriage relationship. That's a big no-no. So it's wonderful. And some people, that's all they have. They don't really have another Category 3 love. They have a Category 2 and a Category 3 love with the Category 2 person in marriage. Paul didn't have the Category 2, but he had lots of Category 3. Philippians 1:3, I, Paul, thank my God in all remembrance of you. Paul was very thankful for his friends and for the people that were positive to the Bible doctrine. That gave him great joy. That was his fragrance of memory. C, while the memory of a mature believer is a blessing, the name of the reversionist will rot, and that will rot in the subconscious traces, so there's no trace. Proverbs 10:7, which says, the memory, zakar, of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. I don't really have any fragrance of memory for evil people or knuckleheads. I don't smile when I think, oh, that knucklehead. No, I have fragrance of memory for positive believers and other people that are a blessing. Point six, believers should be storing good memories all their life. That's what you should be doing. Such memory is insulation against difficult days and days of reversionism. Psalm 145, 7 to 10. They will bubble over with memory. Memory producing stimulation of your abundant goodness is memory of the Lord's grace provisions. Stonewall Jackson's second wife, she never remarried. And you'll see this many times. When they have a perfect relationship with that particular spouse and that spouse is gone, they can be sustained simply by the memories. They don't need another person. And therefore, they go the rest of their life for many, many years. And she wasn't a bad-looking woman, but she was sustained by the memory of her husband who was killed in combat in May of 1863. He wasn't killed in combat. He was shot in combat and died on a Sunday from pneumonia, sustained because of his wounds. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember also your Creator. And that's the same word you have in Proverbs 10:7, Zakar. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. So this is good advice. Recall, remember, because that's the word Zakar, your Creator. How can you remember something? This obviously you have to know something to remember it, right? Right. If you don't know it, you can't remember it. So this is instruction to the young. Store up Bible doctrine like a squirrel as quick as you can. Whatever your age is, if you're young and you're exposed to it, it's wonderful. Some people don't get exposed to Bible doctrine until they're 60, 70, even later. They didn't know any Bible doctrine. All they knew is a couple of little things here and there, but they didn't have the deep things of doctrine. But God's timing is perfect for them as well. But if you're young, store it up as quick as you can. And then it says, before the days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So this, of course, talks to punishment in reversionism. So if you fall into reversionism, you will have very horrible days. And the days draw near when I have no pleasure in them. If you're full of Bible doctrine as an old person, you have pleasure in the days. You know, you have aches and pains you've never had before, but you still have a wonderful, relaxed mental attitude. So this speaks to the reversionist, because you're going to have no pleasure if you fall into reversionism. And who is this? Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. This is autobiographical. This is autobiographical. When he was a young man, he was very positive to doctrine. And he reached a level of maturity very quickly. And then he turned against it. And he had divine discipline like you can't believe. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. It's explaining his misery in life. He said, I have a fantastic builder. I'm miserable. I have fantastic. I have 700 wives and 300 concubines. I'm miserable. I'm a fantastic musician. I'm miserable. I'm a fantastic warrior. I'm miserable. Miserable, miserable, miserable. Why? Because he was in reversionism. He ignored all the Bible doctrine he had. When he was young, he was very happy. And he could see straightly and clearly. But then he turned against it. Now, the good news is for him, he finally got with it as an old man and became positive again, and he started to teach Bible doctrine. But he's describing himself. Point seven, Bible doctrine, the soul and spirit memory center must have number one priority in the life of the believer. 2 Peter 1:12-13, which says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind, hupomimnesko, which means to cause one to remember you of these things. What things? Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine. He's always ready to remind them, repeat, repeat, repeat. The Bible repeats a lot. We repeat a lot. Why do we repeat a lot here? Because the Bible repeats a lot. Why is that necessary? I've got the R's drawn up here. Repetition. Repetition and retention. You know, as the R's go here, you've got regeneration. You've got reception and rebound. You've got to rebound and receive it. Then you've got to have repetition, repetition, repetition. Then you retain it. Then you're going to have the test and you recall it. Then you respond to the test with Bible doctrine equals rewards. Now, this formula is for the mature believer. But for the immature believer, you get rewards along this chain. You get rewards when you retain it. You get rewards when you're in fellowship. So you do get, if I drew this correctly, I have little lines going to the reward column. These are lower levels of reward, but this is the big one. This formula is for the mature believer. The big one is when you get the testing. That's when you accelerate the rewards. It's true you get rewards just for rebounding. As a baby believer, when you rebound, you get certain levels of rewards. You get the pennies. If you ever throw pennies into a well, I like to go to these wishing wells and fountains and stuff. People throw pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, and sometimes you'll see a dollar piece in there. When the kids were little, I used to tell them, go in there and see if you can get some of that money. Now, if I kid them, I say, hey, man, why don't you go in there and get some money out there for the old man? Oh, Dad, I did that when I was little. I didn't know any better. Now it's too embarrassing. So you get the pennies by doing the lower level stuff. Yeah, you get, and when you retain Bible doctrine, that's quarters or 50-cent pieces. But if you want the big money, the bitcoins, I guess, are now big monies, then you follow this formula. So this is a teaching tool. It's not all-inclusive for rewards. Don't think that's the only way I'm going to get my rewards. No, you get them. You get certain levels. You get pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. But if you want the big money, that's how you get it through there. So Paul is saying, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, Bible doctrines, even though you already know them. And this word is H-E-N-E-K-A, henika, which means on account of. On account of what? On account of I've taught you a lot. You already know them and have been established in the truth. In other words, these people not only had retained it, but they're ready to pass testing and have been established in the truth. Aletheia, that's the word, what is true in any matter under consideration. That's a synonym for Bible doctrine. They're firm, which is present. And that's paraemi, which means to be by, with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling. Well, that's a fancy way of saying I'm sucking down oxygen. I'm in my soma, the body, because his soul and spirit is encased in a body, like our soul and spirit is encased in a body. To stir you up by way of reminder, hupomenesis. That's what his job is. His job is to repeat Bible doctrine. Now, once in a while, I'll run across people, I don't want to hear it again. I heard it 5 times. Okay, well, as I've said many times, do you have a hobby? Yeah. Do you just want to do your hobby 5 times? No, I love my hobby. Well, I guess you don't love Bible doctrine if you don't want to hear it again. Because I don't hear you saying about your hobby, collecting butterflies or whatever it is. You can't wait to go do the hobby or the Nintendo game. I guess they don't do Nintendos anymore. I don't know what people do these days. Or you want to spend 10 hours on Facebook gossiping with other idiots. You love to do that, don't you? Why is that not boring? Because you're saying the same old crap over and over again. Look at me, look at me, look at my dog. We really don't care about you or your dog. I did an interview the other day. I said, what's your Twitter account? Don't have one. What's your Facebook? Don't have one. Oh, really? Yeah, really. Okay. So, Lamentations 7a. Believers are stabilized by remembering the Bible doctrine they possess. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind. What do you recall to your mind? Bible doctrine. Remember, this is the R here, recall. You got a test, you're going to have to recall the Bible doctrine. And if you don't have any Bible doctrine, you can't recall it from your memory center. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. That means absolute confidence. And then, of course, the rest of the verse says in the King James Version, it's by the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed immediately. That's a good thing to recall to mind. Because if you get what you deserve, you'd be consumed immediately. And that means me too. Great are his mercies. They renew every day. Anyway, that's Lamentations 3, 21 and following. But the point here is that he recalls Bible doctrine, and he's hooked up. But you can't recall what you don't know. 7b, the importance of Bible doctrine in the memory center, Psalm 119:16, 119:93, 119:109, 119:141, Proverbs 4, 5. Psalm 119:16 says, I shall delight in your statutes. This is the law. This is Bible doctrine. I shall not forget your word. Don't forget it. 8. Bible doctrine in the memory center is designed to orient the believer to the principle of logistical grace. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, nephesh, and forget none of his benefits. Where do you think you got the clothes, the car, the gasoline to come to Bible class? Well, I'm a self-made man. Nobody's a self-made man. You live with people all the time. We all have other people we depend on that open doors. We're going to get to the doctrine of the open door. In dating, who introduces you to your spouse? Well, it's a third party. Well, I guess then you didn't find it yourself, did you? Somebody else introduced you, or however it happened. So we all, have certain human attributes, and we got to concentrate. Where'd you get the human attributes to do that in the first place? I made the A myself. Well, who gave you the brain to study to make the A? You could have had the brain of a moron, and you wouldn't be able to get an A. Point 9, negative aspects of memory. And this is our almost final point. Negative aspects of memory. Judging and maligning other believers destroys the pleasant memories of other believers. Job 13:2-12. Because in the memory you can have garbage. That person done me wrong. Therefore, I'm going to do them wrong. If you have that attitude in marriage, your marriage will never last. Never. Point B. The unbeliever has regrets beyond death. Luke 16:25. Now, once you die, there's no second chance. But apparently they have an awareness and a regret, but they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. And God is perfect in his grace. God gave them every chance to be saved. He wanted that person to be saved a million times more than you do. So if you think that that's not fair, and if I was God, no, forget about it. God wants them to be saved far more than you could ever gin up any phony baloney sincerity or emotional concept about, I'm going to help the world. See, too much drinking causes leaders and rulers to forget their responsibilities. Proverbs 31:4-5. That's true. Booze can cancel out the memory stuff, folks. In fact, if you really drink too much booze, they wake up in Memphis and wonder, how did I get here? D. The memory center has the unpleasant but necessary job of recalling sin. Numbers 5:15, Hebrews 10:3. Yes, you've got to keep short accounts. Obviously, you can't rebound if you don't recall the sin. And this is the doctrine of rebound, which we'll get to. The fifth cycle of discipline. Judgment of a nation blots out the memory of that nation in history. Exodus 17:14. Fifth cycle of discipline was God wipes out a nation that was a client nation to God. This has happened many times in history. Point F. The reversionist is not remembered. Job 18:17. In most cases, the reversionistic believer does not remember the Lord, even though he is under the sin unto death. So the reversionistic believer, in most cases, they never rebound. They're under the sin unto death, and they go out under the sin unto death like Saul. And they're dead. And nobody really remembers the reversionist. There's no fragrance or memories for evil people. Why waste your time with them? You just say, well, they're gone. Now I'm going to have fragrance or memories for the good people. Point 11. Happiness is stimulated by memory. That's true. Happiness can be stimulated by memory. One of the great ironies is that Colonel R.B. Thiem, who was a genius in the original languages and a grace-oriented Bible teacher that I think the church age, in my opinion, it's Paul, 2,000 years in R.B. Thiem. If you look at church age pastor teachers that have come and gone in the last 2,000 years, yeah, he took a lot of stuff from other pastor teachers like Dr. Ironsides and Dr. Schaefer, and you had other people that he stood on their backs. Obviously, we all do. But he came up with a grace-oriented systematic theology that was brilliant. And yet, it's all there in the Bible, very clearly taught. But he put it together. But how did he die? His memory went out. He got Alzheimer's. And he didn't even recognize who he was at the end. In fact, one of his caretakers, who's a good friend of mine, Regina Taylor, she said that he was. They had videotapes of his ministry near the end, and she would play these for him as he sat there, you know, doing the floppy chicken in a chair. And he once said, he said, you know, that guy there knows what he's talking about. It was him. But he had Bible doctrine was still in his memory center, even though he didn't even know who he was. He didn't know who people were. But he knew Bible doctrine. And that is amazing. The Bible doctrine was still there. And he would say, that person, which was him, knows his Bible doctrine. Fantastic testament to the grace of God. Now, why would God allow this great person to be struck down with Alzheimer? That's God's plan. Other people in the periphery were tested by that to see how they would react and what would they say and how would they do this and do that. But it's God's marvelous grace. He allowed him to live a few years down the road, and just that one phrase that he said is a testament to the grace of God. Satan and all his demons wanted to shut him up for many years. He taught for over 50 years, basically every day. For 50 years, day in and day out, come hell or high water, and grace-oriented all the way. Lots of trials, lots of tribulations, and yet he taught. That's what you're supposed to do as a pastor-teacher, is study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. And that's what he did. Very, very, very few pastor-teachers do that. Because if you're going to teach, you've got to be cranking it out on a consistent basis. Not once on Sunday, brother. And even when they do the once on Sunday, these churches only teach for 10 minutes. You might get 10 minutes. What's the other time? Singing and a hooting and a hollering and praising people and doing plaques and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And then more singing. I'm not against singing, but the primary form of worship is to study Bible doctrine. The job of the pastor teacher is to get you so you do this yourself. And when the time comes, you can recall the Bible doctrine because you've retained it, because we've repeated it, and we've had the doors open here on a consistent basis. Near the end, he went down to about 3 or 4 times a week. But there was a time when it was like twice on Sunday, twice on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think he would take off a Friday or a Saturday. But it was like a lot. And that's what he was supposed to do. And if you study his ministry, I don't think anybody's ever written a book on him yet, but I had the privilege of meeting him and having a Category 3 friendship with him. I wasn't just a member of the congregation. I knew him personally, and we had a great Category 3 relationship. And there's a lot of wonderful memories about that person in my brain, which I recall to mind, which is wonderful. So as we approach the Christmas season, though, we recall the greatest memory, which is our Lord and Savior, what he did for us. And there are so few people that understand the hypostatic union, what Jesus Christ is and what he did. I was reading a magazine the other day, and it's like, oh, my golly. They were talking about the necessity and the hypostatic union, and this one person had the audacity to say, he said, I don't believe that someone's saved if they don't believe in the virgin birth. What an idiot. When you're saved, you don't know any Bible doctrine about the virgin birth, the eternal security, a resurrection body. You don't know anything, neither did I. That's not a requirement for salvation. But there are so many knuckleheads out there in Christendom, in Christianity. They don't know straight up from straight down. And it's sad. And I don't remember those idiots. I just get mad when I read that stuff. I got to stop reading it. But I want you to be prepared when you read it, you too can get mad. Because you will go to your memory center and you know the correct Bible doctrine. And you know to pass these people by. We'll get to the doctrine of separation, which is coming up. But I guess we've finished our time on the time clock today. With our head bowed, our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the marvelous and wondrous privilege of studying your word. We also thank you for your Son. We know that in eternity past, you developed a plan to save all mankind. And you knew that we would respond to that plan, that invitation for grace. And you knew that we would come into existence in this time. You knew also that we would be positive to Bible doctrine, and you provided us with the means to grow to maturity. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity, and we pray that you will challenge us to recall the wondrous plan that you have developed and to recall our place in this plan in the angelic conflict. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.